morning. We've gathered at this moment for taking the Lord's Supper. And if you've not gotten the Lord's Supper, they're in the back. And I encourage you to get that if you haven't gotten that. This is Sunday, the best day of the week. This is the day our Savior rose. This is the day the gospel was preached. This is the day that saints gathered, and it's the day we remember. And that's just significant for us as we think about that. If you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of John. I want to look with you at two Sundays and hopefully share some thoughts that may be helpful for you. I want to begin by reading you the words of a book. This book is written by a lady by the name of Agnes. And the book is entitled, Come Be My Light. And what it is, it's a collection of her journal and diary writings that covered over 60 years. And on one page, Agnes wrote, so many unanswered questions live within me, afraid to uncover them. When I try to raise my thoughts to heaven, there is such emptiness, and those thoughts return to me like sharp knives and hurt my very soul. I'm told that God loves me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul. On another page, Agnes wrote, Jesus has a very special love for you. As for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. Now, these honest statements that came from Agnes is not someone dealing with an addiction. She's not someone that is not sure about God. In fact, most of us would be surprised who this woman was. She spent her life at a place where most of us wouldn't want to spend 30 minutes. We know her by another name. We know her by the name of Mother Teresa. And she spent her life helping people in the slums of Calcutta. And when we think about that person, we think about someone who had such powerful, strong faith. But she had a lot of doubts. And sometimes when we gather together on a Sunday morning, we look at everybody, we got our nice clothes on, we're all looking good. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. But sometimes deep inside, we got doubts. And we wonder about these things. Now, our doubts are not, does God exist? Our doubts are not, did God write the Bible? We know the answer to those things. Our doubts is, does God really love me? Will God really forgive me? We wonder if God will answer our prayers. And it's when we're sitting in the emergency room of the hospital, it's when we're walking home from the funeral home, it's when we've heard the bad news that we have cancer, there's been a miscarriage, there's been a job loss. It's when those hard things in life come to us, then we wonder, does God really care? And it's when those doubts come about. So what we're going to look at is one man and two different Sundays. It begins in John chapter 20 and verse 19. We know his name is Thomas. Most of us think his first name is Doubting. When we get to heaven, we're going to say, hi, I'm Roger. Well, my name's Doubting. And when we get done with this, I hope you see a better name for him would be Honest. Honest Thomas. Because Honest Thomas, Doubting Thomas, stands in a lot of places where you and I stand sometimes. So we begin in John chapter 20 and verse 19. It says, when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, that's Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And we go on down to, we go ahead and read verse 21. Jesus therefore said to them, peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Down in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now we can only run through our minds millions of reasons why he wasn't there. Everyone else was there. Why was he not there? Was he despondent? Jesus was dead. Maybe it's all over now. Maybe he was disappointed. Maybe he was expecting at this time that the Romans were going to be kicked out of Jerusalem, and finally there'd be an independent nation like David had, but that didn't happen. Maybe he was discouraged. Now who's going to take over? Jesus was no longer with him. But whatever it was, he was doubting. And again, the same could be said of us sometimes in different circumstances. When we look at verse 25, The other disciples were therefore saying to him, do you catch that? Up above, Jesus is with the disciples, but Thomas isn't there. Now Thomas is with the disciples, and Jesus isn't there. And he says in verse 25, he says, disciples therefore were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprints of the nails, put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand aside, I will not believe. Now, if you keep your hand here and go back to Mark 16, there had been multiple reasons that they should have believed. At the end of Mark 16, we have two accounts of people seeing the resurrected Jesus. In verse 12 and verse 13, the two men on the road to Emmaus. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along their way to the country. And they went and reported to the others, but they did not believe them either. And just above this, in verse 9, it talks about the women. After he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, for whom he cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him, and they were mourning and weeping. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe. And so now we skip to the next Sunday. Go with me now down to verse 26, if you will. It says, after 8 days... we're still on a Sunday here. After 8 days, his disciples were inside and Thomas with him. Jesus came, and the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Now, it's interesting what Thomas did between those two Sundays. He had doubts, didn't he? And what's interesting is where we find him. He's still with the disciples. When somebody says, I have questions, I say, great, let's talk about your questions. There's things I'm not sure about. I don't have a problem with that. Let's look in our Bible. And what we need to see is, do we feed our faith or do we feed our doubts? Thomas here was not found at home in bed with the covers over his head. He wasn't found back at work. He wasn't on Google, Googling, Jesus does not live. He wasn't in a bar drinking. He was with the disciples. And don't you think for that week between Jesus showing again, don't you think he asked them questions? Are you really, really sure it was him? What did he look like? What was his voice like? And for a week, he's there asking and looking. And all that reminds us how important it is that when we have questions, what do we do with those questions? Do we feed our faith or do we feed our doubts? Now, once you notice, he wanted to believe. That's why he's among the disciples here. He's among those who will encourage his faith. He's among those who will help him with his questions. He's among those that were going to give him the answers that are true to God's word. We also notice that he put himself in a position to believe. It's interesting when you look at verse 26 and verse 27, when Jesus appears and says, reach, touch, there's no indication Thomas ever did that. There's no indication he ever touched Jesus. But what an open mind and an open heart he had. When he says in verse 28, my Lord and my God, in the Greek language, it is the Lord of me and the God of me. And it has always, always been personal. It's your God. It is my God. It is your faith. And it is my faith. And what's interesting also, as we look at this, Thomas didn't need to have more proof. He didn't say, Jesus, could you walk on water just one more time? Could I see you raise somebody from the dead? Just one, I'll believe if you do me one more miracle. Just one more time, multiply the food for me. He didn't say those things. He was fully convinced and fully understood. And he made that great proclamation that Jesus is his Lord and his God. And so in verse 29 and verse 30, the Bible says, Jesus says to him, because you have seen, you have believed me. Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. And verses 29 and 30 and 31 is where you and I are. Jesus is not literally going to walk through those doors in the back and walk right in among us. Oh, wouldn't it be awesome if he did? I mean, we'd say, yes, there he is. Wouldn't it be awesome if in your home this evening, Jesus showed up and did a miracle? Man, I believe. That's not going to happen because we have the scriptures. And the scriptures is our power. And the scriptures is what lead us to Jesus Christ. And so like Thomas, there's things in life that sometimes throw us a curveball. Sometimes it makes us wonder. Sometimes we're not sure about things. But through Thomas, we need to have the honesty to say, I'm going to be around the disciples because they know. I'm going to be around the Word of God because it's absolute. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And that should help us. And so this morning as we take the Lord's Supper, we take it fully knowing, confidently knowing that our Lord went to the grave and rose again. He did that on purpose. He did that knowing that. He did that so you, so me, could have eternal life. On our own, we can't be good enough. On our own, we can't go to church enough. On our own, you can't read the Bible enough. On our own, whatever you do will never be good enough. But the blood of Jesus washes away our sins. And that's why every Sunday, we're never more than a Sunday away from this, to remember, without this, where would I be? Have you ever gotten that thought? A lot of us would never know each other had it not been for Jesus. A lot of us, have it not been for Jesus, how many marriages would we have gone through by now? Had it been not for Jesus, how many addictions would we have had by now? Had it not been for Jesus, how many of us would be in jail right now? If it were not for Jesus, how many of us would even be alive today? That's just physical. But you start putting the spiritual on that, it really makes you wonder. He has changed our lives. So now let's say a prayer for the bread, which represents that precious body of Jesus that hung on the cross that was given for our life. Our Holy Father, we're thankful that we could gather this day all across this land, Father, and all across this world. Disciples of yours are bowing in reverence to you, Father. It's that precious life that walked upon this earth, that sinless life that gave us the sacrifice necessary to redeem us to our Father. We're so thankful, Father, and we're so appreciative of the life of your Son. Bless us as we take of the bread. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll say a prayer for the cup, which represents his blood. The color of it is like blood. It reminds us of blood, and it took that blood to forgive us. I was in a bookstore one time, and I saw this T-shirt hanging on the wall, and it was a drop of blood. And under the caption, it says, it took just one drop. And that's not true. If it took one drop, Jesus just pricked his finger. He wouldn't have to gone through that. No, he shed his blood. He was bloodied out, we might say, for us. The concept of an animal sacrifice was a very gruesome thing. I told people before, I'm thankful I live in the New Testament times. If I had to be a priest in the Old Testament, I'd pass out every week because I couldn't stand those things. And so when we carry that over to Jesus Christ, it was a bloody, bloody sacrifice. I think most of us would have cringed to see what was taking place. But he did that for you. And that's significant. Let's say a prayer as we take the cup. Our Holy Father, we're thankful for this wonderful sacrifice. It illustrates and demonstrates your love to us, Father. It shows us how much you want us to spend forever with you. You're willing to give us a second chance, Father, and for that we are very, very thankful. Bless us as we take of this day, Father. May we be mindful of what you are to us, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.